And don't worry, everybody. Guy will be back on Monday, but I'm really happy to be filling in. Mike Parsons, I'm normally more of a silent partner on the show, but I'm really happy to be filling in with you guys. And since it is a Friday, make sure you listen to the music we play coming out of commercial breaks. Got a good prize this week. Peter Gabriel tickets, September 29th at Little Caesars Arena. So, of course, at the end of the show, if you think you know the theme, call us and you might get some great concert tickets. So if you are paying for streaming services or cable, you might as well save some money and cancel those subscriptions, because what's on the news has way more twists and turns, way more surprise revelations than anything you're going to get on Netflix. It's Friday. Donald Trump has not been arrested or indicted, as he predicted on his Truth Social page on Saturday. But that's not stopping Jim Jordan and a couple of other Republicans in Congress from trying to investigate the investigation of the alleged covering up of documents to allegedly cover up $130,000 hush money payment to Stormy Daniels, adult film actor, for an alleged affair that her and the president had about a decade before he ran for president. But Jim Jordan and two other Republicans, they sent a letter to Alvin Bragg's office, the Manhattan district attorney, who is investigating this, and they want to investigate the investigation, claiming that Bragg changed his mind about charges after Trump announced that he ran for president. And so we're going to do what we normally do on the Guy Gordon Show with these thorny legal issues and talk to our own legal counsel, Todd Flood, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law. Todd, thanks for taking some time with us today.
Mike, it's a pleasure, as always. Glad you're filling in.
Thank you. And I'm glad to have you as my first guest. You know, to me, I'm not a lawyer. This request seems very unusual. Does Congress ever get involved in state criminal investigations, or are these uncharted waters?
To the microcosm of getting involved in this part of the investigation, I've never heard of it. To get into an investigation as it relates to a state claim of a catastrophe within a state, yes, it has happened. Congress had its own hearing on the Flint water crisis, if you remember, and spent quite some time on it. But they never got into the depths of the criminal investigation. We shared information. We worked together during that time frame. But I have not heard of Congress investigating. And it's not to say that it hasn't been done in our history, but Congress investigating the prosecutor's office, the attorney general's office, into a criminal act, and how they are doing their investigation. That's a new one. Albeit, this is an interesting case. There is plenty of people on both sides of the aisle that say this is a unique, if not a different type of charge. You got to remember, there's been plenty of people that have come up on this charge before. When Edwards was running for president, he ultimately went to a jury and won on this type of case for hush money when he was having an affair. Mm-hmm. In this situation, you know, someone went to prison for this case. And that person that went to prison, Michael Cohen, you know, is the whistleblower, but he's the one that ultimately said, yes, this was done for a particular purpose. And mind you, it's not illegal to commit a legal contract. People do non-disclosure agreements all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not illegal to do that. What's illegal, Mike, is if they defrauded the government in either their bookkeeping IRS or that they can show that, you know, President Trump did this with the mens rea, with the intent, knowing that this was being done. It's an interesting case, to say the least. And there is some question as relates to timing, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's now doing it again.
And the old saying is the cover-up is worse than the crime. In this case, the cover-up is allegedly the crime. So, I mean, does Congress have any leverage if they do do an investigation into the investigation and they deem it to be politically motivated and unfair? Do they have any power to change and prevent anything?
So Congress can open up an inquiry, and they can have, they do have subpoena power. It has to go through. They have to get a vote, and that vote has to pass the muster of opening this investigation of whether or not it's done or not. But I gotta believe cooler minds will prevail, because think about it. If you're going to go into the investigation of a prosecutor's office here, for example, in the state of Michigan, or in Kim Worthy's office or Dana Nessel's office, they have so many rights and protections of, you know, not disclosing a current and pending investigation. They have a shield around them. So how you would pierce that shield is, I think, a mighty task. And I can't imagine that being successful up on the Hill. So it seems to me to be more chatter, but I'm not a politician in that realm. I don't know, but it seems to me to be more of, you would think, political in nature to open that type of investigation in the first place.
Alvin Bragg's lawyer, Leslie Dubeck, one of the things she said in her response to this inquiry is that eventually, if Donald Trump is indicted, you know, all these documents, all this evidence will be sent to his lawyer, to his defense lawyer anyway. So is everything that they're trying to ask Bragg's office for, is that all going to eventually come out anyway if Donald Trump's indicted, or will there be some things that the DA's office doesn't have to send over to the Trump defense?
No, they would have to send everything in this particular case over. So if there is an indictment, all of the material would go over to the defense team, and in turn, there would be some protective orders wherein, you know, things could not be disclosed outside of certain places, that being the attorneys and his client. But she's right. If there is an indictment, disclosure of discovery is mandatory. So that all becomes a moot point, right? And that would quell or stop any investigation unless there was some other avenue or agenda for the investigation. But I don't see that. So everything would be turned over if there was an indictment.
Before I let you go, Todd, the other day, the Michigan Court of Appeals ruled that James and Jennifer Crumbly will stand trial. Of course, they're the parents of Ethan Crumbly, the alleged Oxford High School shooter. And there's a lot of weird revelations that came to light. They did have a gun safe, but the combo was 000, which pretty much made the gun safe pointless. After the meeting that they had with the school on the day of the shooting, James Crumbly left and immediately went back to door dashing. And Jennifer and Ethan were texting each other up until 10 minutes before it happened. Just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on any revelations that came out yesterday. And if you think that it moves the case in either direction.
Yeah, so, Mike, I've been asked by so many people today and yesterday about this very issue, whether or not it sets up a bad precedent for parents and whether or not there's, you know, a slippery slope that's going on here. I really don't think that's the case. This Court of Appeals, a very conservative court at that, this panel, wrote a really solid major opinion. And Karen McDonald, you know, to the extent that she, you know, took any heat or that the crown of the queen was heavy, she should stand tall, because the facts and the law dictated the day, and she saw that and she prosecuted. The question becomes, just ask yourself and everybody else, really this: was it reasonably foreseeable that something bad of either death or harm could happen if you allow a child that is in a mental crisis, that has given you notice he's in a mental crisis, that has given notice to you that he is a threat to himself and others, is it reasonable for you to think something would bad happen in the future by giving him a gun and allowing him access to the gun? You had a duty. The duty was to protect the gun, to make sure it was in not in harm's way, and you didn't. And knowing your child was in that crisis, you allowed him to have access. I think this case now from the Court of Appeals, I would imagine the Supreme Court would not grant cert to hear it. I doubt that anyway. They may, who knows, but this case will go to a jury trial and the facts will dictate the day. And this is a prosecution of gross negligence. It's not something of bad parenting. It's bad parenting on steroids times 10, because here they were clearly derelict in their duty of making sure this gun was safe while the son had the ability to get to it. And knowing he was in, you know, they saw the pictures that day, right? They saw the photographs and they said, you know, if you don't take this child to, you know, get help, we will. And, you know, that was clear to them. Mm-hmm. They didn't ask at that time, hey, did you check to see if he has his gun? Did you look to see in his backpack? Is the gun safe? I mean, this is disturbing. You know, they didn't do that.
Right.
So I think it was a sound decision by the court, if that means anything. And the court went through a really lengthy fact pattern to show the gross negligence and the foreseeability of threat of harm and death.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Karen McDonald from the prosecutor's office, I think, you know, saw that. She did what she was duty bound to do, and due process will happen. That's what we have the Constitution for. So it'll go to a jury trial, and whether they win or lose, due process will happen in this case.
Yeah, and only if Prosecutor McDonald had that safe storage law at her disposal. Todd Flood, thank you so much for helping us make sense of all of this. Todd Flood, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Mike, as always. Thank you.
And we want to hear from you real quick, 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. Do you think that Congress should be getting involved in criminal investigations at the state level? Is it an overreach? Shouldn't the courts be the ones to determine whether a investigation is legitimate or not? Or do you have such little faith in the judicial system that you want an outside entity to come in and oversee it? 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. Your call's next.